Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Rolando.
And welcome to the show. This week, we will review The Innocents. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. I'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But we're back in TV Corner as we review from episode four. And I thought this would be really fun. We should review this episode is we'll break it up into groups, right? We'll break it up into like Victor's story, Kenny and Jade had a little bit. And I finally know what that place is called. It's called Colony House. We'll talk about the Colony House.
Colony House.
And then we'll talk about the townspeople. So we just kind of break it up. But I think we should probably start with the most interesting stuff was with Victor. We get a quick flashback and we see that he was probably the early residents.
I want to say he's the first one.
Yep, he might be one of the first.
Or I'm sorry, not the first one. Yeah, this is a different way to do the analysts. Analyzing the story. Yeah, so maybe all those people were there before. I think we still have to figure it out.
Uh-huh.
I think we need more information.
Yeah.
But as far as the community is concerned, it seems like Victor is definitely the person that's been there the longest.
He is going to be probably the first one. As of right now, I'm saying he's the first one. So my theory that these guys don't age is out the window, right? Clearly, there's a timeline. And Victor was there probably very early on. It'd be interesting to see who figured out, you know, how to hide from the creatures and everything. But to quickly explain, the show opens with a young Victor coming out of that storm cellar. And there's all these people dead in the road. We can assume that, you know, the creatures attacked him at night. Or something else happened, right? We don't even know that for sure.
Oh, yeah. So does that suggest that these creatures have only been around for 60 years? Something like that?
Yes, I believe that's kind of what they're hinting at, right? Well, whatever's happened to that town, it's been in effect. We don't know how long these creatures or however they've been around. They could have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, right? So we get Victor we sort of explore the relationship between Victor and the little boy, Ethan.
I've got a theory. Sorry.
Let me hit me with the theory. What is the theory?
Okay. That was me hitting you with the theory.
Ah!
I think since you mentioned that, since he came out of the cellar, what if you remember when who's the rich guy, the guy that couldn't?
Yeah, Jade. Jade.
Mm-hmm. You know how you went into that same cellar and he saw something horrific in the thing, and then there's all these markings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What if Victor accidentally released these things from where they were being captive?
Oh, yeah, because he definitely seems he knows a lot about these. He knows a lot about the little boy, right?
Yeah.
We get a little bit more about who that little boy was, who I early on thought was some sort of reflection of Ethan, but it ends up being this separate person.
I think it was when I pointed out that they're two different actors, because I swear they were the same actor.
Mm-hmm. No, it did. It totally, especially the way it ended, it was very, I just assumed they were doing some sort of trickery with it. But it looks like that kid has been around maybe even at longer with Victor. And Victor seems to have a relationship, is starting to build a relationship with Ethan, the little boy, right? And this sort of they sort of build on that relationship. So meaning like they're talking, he takes him to the woods. We see that Victor and Ethan are seeing the same little boy, and they take him to the woods, and there's something called, I missed the name and I should have wrote it down, there's something about the trees that there are, there's a certain trees.
What do you call them?
Willows, whispers, something like that, right? I should have wrote it down.
He had also an AKA funny other name that basically reflected what the trees do.
Right. So he takes him to the trees, and we see, and he explains to him that there are more of them throughout the forest. And essentially what they do is they throw you out somewhere there.
Randomly.
Right? Randomly. Yeah. Or somewhere, it could be a different like time or different part of the woods. It could be not too far away. So as an example of that, Victor puts a smiley face on a stone and throws it down, and it comes from the sky down, kind of like a portal, right? Which is kind of interesting. And then he kind of has like a moment where he has like a mental flashback. He starts seeing dogs. It relates back to when he had an incident with the boy, and the dogs are connected somehow.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, like, the new family saw these dogs too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So
which I feel like they're not real.
Ghost dogs. They're ghost. They're creature. But, I don't know.
They were around during the daytime. So I'm confused.
I don't know if this kid is able to kind of just walk around, huh? He's the one that seems to be. There must be a delineation between the little boy and these creatures. I was under the assumption they were connected, right? So they may not be necessarily be connected. This could be two separate things going on.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I thought that was kind of interesting. Kind of fun stuff. Of course, you know, the dad, I think his name was Jim, right? Is it Jim and Tabitha are his parents? They take issue with Victor being a creepy weirdo, hanging out with their younger son. There's a confrontation early in the diner as well. And
I mean, to be fair, Victor's carrying around a gun. So
Victor's carrying around a gun, and the show ends with Victor dug out six graves, basically, right? Like shallow graves.
When they're like, can you stop? And he's like, well, I just want to get a head start this time.
Yeah. It's interesting that he's aware. He's aware, and the number of graves he dug out. He dug out six. So that's kind of interesting. Maybe we're going to see six deaths this season, or it could mean something else. I don't know. Kind of fun. Kind of interesting.
He's just planting a garden. They're all like red herrings at the end of each episode. You're like, oh no, all these things happen, but when he looks up to the sky, he's like, oh shit, it's already going to be season for tomatoes, and he's like digging.
and that kind of leads, what did you think of Victor? I mean, you've talked about some of your theories. What did you think about this Victor information? Felt very lost, very lost. I know we say that a lot, but and there are creators, I mean,
it all feels very lost. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting. He's definitely going to be the most interesting character in the series, I'm assuming.
Right.
Like, I think we're led to believe that the young boy is going to be like the key to whatever, but I think Victor's probably the real key.
Yeah. I have a theory, because and when we talk about, so Sarah, which we can, I think Victor and the townspeople's storylines kind of fold into each other nicely. So I think Sarah did get a message on her arm, and it said, kill the boy. On the surface, yeah, it could mean kill, you know, the new kid, right? Ethan. There's something up with Ethan. But what if it has like a different meaning? What if it means like Victor? Victor was a boy too. We saw that he was a boy as well. Maybe I'm not saying, there could be like a little bit of it seemed like a little too direct, I guess. So now we get a sense of how Sarah gets her messages, right? She gets them like ripped into her arm?
Is that right? I'm starting to, when that happened, and I wouldn't be mad at this, I started to think maybe she's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe she's just finally off her rocker and she's like an added element via Lost also, right? Like
mm-hmm.
there was like a couple of characters that had nothing to do with what was the real threat. They just were crazy because of the situation.
Yeah. And we also learned that Tabitha and Jim were planning on getting a divorce because Tabitha lost a child, which is why they were on this trip to begin with. And I guess they, now they're kind of just stuck together and they're with their family.
What
with
if
their
Victor is the child they lost and it's a time loop?
Whoa, mind blown.
Anyway, don't look up the writers of the series because I'm definitely not one of them.
One of my favorite moments of the show was when Boyd, the sheriff, he didn't really have a ton to do. He had the scene where he's cleaning up the body. And again, he makes mention of the fact that the priest character told him, like, you need to kill that guy. And they kind of go back and forth with it, which I thought was a good pull. But probably my favorite moment was, Boyd, they ask Jim and Tabitha ask Boyd, would you like, actually Jim and Boyd see each other in town. And Jim tells him, like, keep Victor away from my, you know, son or whatever. He's kind of a weird guy.
Oh,
and
yeah, with that said,
uh-huh.
I also like, if there's more reasons for me to dislike this character, right, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
You're
not a fan of
all
him.
These people, no,
or the actor, right?
Or the actor, really? Yeah, I mean, he did better in this episode, but like everybody's going to fucking bother Boyd. Like, oh hey, it doesn't seem like you're too busy. You're just cleaning up fucking guts and shit and rebuilding this death trap. Is this a good time to talk? Because I'm going to talk anyway.
Let him.
And they're like, let's just keep hanging out around this one area too. And then the kid's like, oh, what's in the wheelbarrow? It's like, oh, nothing.
Flowers.
Leave me alone.
Don't look at me.
Yeah.
You know
what? I could just get one fucking minute of peace alone.
Yeah, it's breakfast, son. It's breakfast. Again, one of my favorite moment was Boyd when he asked Jim, like, why don't we go to the diner for dinner or something to talk and meet because he's, you know, because they're new to town or whatever. And Boyd is getting ready to go to whatever. He's staring in the mirror and he just screams, completely conveying.
Oh yeah.
His, you know, how this sheriff doesn't really have like a grip on reality, and like it explains like there's like this uneasiness to him about all of the whole situation and how he can't really deal with the stresses of the place. And that was a nice moment because at this point Boyd's been kind of like reactionary, he's been kind of leaderish, and this is a nice little moment where he's kind of like, he's just as like lost as everybody else on this show. And we go to Colony House real quick. We'll do Colony House and we see that, I didn't write the daughter's name. Let me just screw it real quick. What's her name?
I gotta say,
Julie.
I'm real uninterested in Colony House.
I think you're right. I had a theory. Since this is the show, this is what we mainly do, just theorize. Since we, you know, what do you think is the motivation between the character being so invested in Julia? I kind of feel like it's going to be misleading. I feel like this whole Colony House thing is not what it's supposed to look like, right? It's kind of, now it's kind of like this kind of live together communion type deal as opposed to people that lived in town. A little hippie-ish vibe, right?
Yeah, which is always concerning because that's Colony House. Like, Colony is already a bad sort of, in my head, like a negative connotation towards living space. And then it's very communal, kind of like a cult, almost. So
I get a sense, what's her name? Fatima?
Fatima, right?
Fatima. Yeah, that works. And she I feel like she has a ulterior motive. I think there's an ulterior motive to their friendship. I don't know what it is, and I can speculate, which is what my theories were going to be dulled out. I know for sure this Julie chick, I think they did a pretty good job of taking Julie and explaining why she's so rebellious, why she didn't want to live there. They started to kind of pick at why, right? The fact that she's older and she realizes that her parents are getting a divorce and they're not dealing with it. And she's kind of like, I don't want to be there. I want to go out on my own and do my own thing. I'm tired of living in this sort of broken home or whatever. All well and good. I think for sure there's going to be something that happens, right? I think there's going to be some sort of, Fadmia has a relationship with Ellis, which is Boyd's son, right? And they invited Julie to live there. I think for sure Ellis and Julie is going to cause conflicts with Fadmia. Don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah. I think that's an easy one to call.
I'm almost going to trust these writers to not allow that to happen. No, I'm not scratching my back with a back scratch.
I am not drinking out of a skull. Yes. Diet Coke. So.
All you can do is theorize what we're actually doing.
Clearly, I feel like...
Yeah, I feel like that's an easy thing to just put into the show, I guess.
It's a little... I think her kind of welcoming her to there, and then she's going to like... Julie's character is going to make mistakes and not really understand some of the dynamics of it. It's going to cost people lives. Maybe Fadmia dies. Some shit's going to happen, dude. Like, I know that it's not going to be
said, they're going to be using her to kill off people they don't want in Colony House.
Yeah, I feel like she's going to be part, kind of the center of it.
Or she's another person that's kind of like, what's her face? The one that's gone crazy. And she's being told to kill people too, but she's playing it cool.
Oh yes, Sarah. Unfortunately, I think that's going to be kind of like the one of the least interesting storylines in the show. Real quick, I think quickly we'll just touch upon Kenny and Jade. I think Kenny's kind of like Jade. Jade is like the asshole guy or whatever. Kenny's like the guy that's going to be helping him along, you know, kind of like Jade's friend died in the previous episodes and stuff. And in this episode, they get the radio, they get some sort of radio signal. And I feel like that's going to lead somewhere. Don't you think?
Oh, they get it a couple of times throughout the episode. They got it that one time in front of Jade, and then they got it Boyd was somewhere with someone, I think. Boyd was with Jim, and it happened again.
He
basically said the same thing, like, ignore it. It doesn't matter.
And one of the, like, myth things that we learned today, learned in this episode, was that everybody came from somewhere else in the United States. So it didn't matter where they were traveling. And this is something Kenny explains, that he asked everybody where they were coming from. Some people said California. Some people said, you know, I think upper New York, Florida, wherever. And they all
lesser can be states.
Lesser states. And drive-through states, I believe is what they're called. And because we're
flyover states.
Flyover states.
Anything except for California.
We're coastal elites. So basically this place seems to be kind of stuck. Like, it's just like between times, right? Like, it's kind of like, you can access it if it's from anywhere, which is interesting. What did you think of this episode overall? Sorry, what's your question?
I thought it was very informative. I was going to say, what if they haven't really talked about what year it was when they got transported? So maybe there's still a time theory in play.
Well, you know what? I actually, Fermia mentions that something about online shopping, which is kind of like a recent thing, recent-ish thing, right?
Yeah.
We'd have to say maybe in the last 20 years. Because she mentions like, oh, you could just like online shop or whatever. They miss it. Or I don't know. She makes some kind of crack with Julie about it. And leading me to believe, you know,
that there's kids that are 21, 22 right now that mm-hmm. have only lived their life knowing online shopping is a thing.
Yeah, exactly. They've been to the mall or
just let that sink in. They don't know what landlines really look like.
Yeah.
They call the pound symbol hashtags.
What does VCR stand for? Yeah.
Video cock roads.
Yeah, that's it. Nailed it.
There you go.
Do you want to just...
Yeah, I thought it's a very informative episode. It's not the most interesting for me overall. I felt like the pace really slowed down. Like, I really kind of wished most of it... Like, I wish there was more Victor stuff, I guess. Even though there was a lot, I kind of just wish it was a Victor episode alone.
Yeah, they kind of fleshed out a lot of the stuff that we were kind of... They've already hinted at, which is good, you know.
Yeah.
That just sort of clarifying certain things. I actually kind of like that the show started off with a lot, and then slowly we're kind of pulling back a little bit and we're learning more about the characters as the season goes on, which I think will raise the stakes. And, you know, as we get to the end, it'll probably like speed up again. Something's going to happen. More shit's going to go down, right?
Yeah. And I got to quickly mention, because we have not talked about it at all.
Okay.
I'm like upset with myself for fucking forgetting this.
Mm-hmm.
But the intro credits,
oh, the song
"Que Sera Sera" is a cover by the Pixies, and it's the last song Pixies have recorded in like I don't know how long, because they recorded it for the show.
Mm.
Like I mean, it doesn't even sound like the Pixies. It's really good.
No, yeah, absolutely. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, is that Frank Black voice? I would have never guessed that. I thought it was like
yeah. That's why I tripped out. I mean, it's all of them. Like, it's not just like, it's rare that you get an entire band to do something like this. It would just be Frank Black, because he does a lot of solo stuff, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, all of them.
Wow, amazing. Yeah, I did actually make note of that they sing it, because I could have sworn it was probably somebody, you know, either it was some cover or something, but it was actually the Pixies.
Like Leonard Cohen wannabe or something.
Yeah, who's that guy?
It kind of is.
Who's the guy that works with She and Him? With Zooey Deschanel? That guy. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, M. Ward?
M. Ward. It's not like an M. Ward thing.
Montgomery Ward?
Montgomery Ward's...
Just aging ourselves over
here. Oh, my God. We got edgy Montgomery Ward jokes. Look at us.
Montgomery Ward's, which has been out of business since what year at this point?
Yeah. They've been out since, like, the 90s, dude. They went out so early.
Yeah.
They've been trying to take down brick and mortar forever. If anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, look it up. Do the research.
Look it up.
Google it. Oh, alrighty.
2001.
I told you, yeah. Do I not know my brick and mortar store history or what? I was close.
But yeah, I mean, not brick and mortar anymore, but Montgomery Ward has relaunched itself as of 2004 as an online shopping mall thing.
You could have fooled me. I had no idea.
Now we know where we're getting all our jeans.
I want to say that's where we bought our first Nintendo at Montgomery Ward.
Nice.
I think I remember going to the mall. It could have just been in a toy store. Maybe I'm confusing the details, but there used to be a giant ass Montgomery Ward in the Brownsville Mall, and I want to say that we bought it there or bought it at a toy store. One or the other. I don't remember anymore.
Hmm.
Off the shelf. On sale. $100.
Yeah, that's why I'm a purist, dude. Like, I can't get with the time, so I shop in person everywhere I go. I'm a compulsive liar. Online shopping has been a blessing.
No, absolutely, yeah. Cool. All right. Do you want to just move over to our main review?
Yeah, let's do it.
Great. John. In all sense. All right. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny
5 words
plot summary. drum roll, please.
Yes. For Johnny's five-word plot summary for The Innocents.
Innocence.
Coming in at number three, kid should meet cat's fate.
I'm just going to quickly say that I forward through all the cat shit. I did not want to watch anything cat abuse related. So once I kind of saw what was going on, I just scrubbed 5 minutes. Maybe I missed some stuff. I don't know. I don't.
Oh, man.
I don't want to watch any of that.
I got to admit, I watched half of it.
Rewound it and watch it again.
No, Friday night. Or not even half of it. There's still like an hour left in the movie. But it was like shortly after the cat stuff and I forgot what else. I was like, this is like way too heavy for me to like just watch and then go to sleep on. Which it would have been fine. Now that I know if I had just watched the rest of the movie, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is too much to digest. Let me watch something fucking stupid because I'm not feeling good right now.
Yeah.
All right. Coming in at number two for Johnny's five-word plot summary for the Annika Kusin. Marvel's What If Fantastic Four.
Oh, you missed it. You missed the low-hanging fruit joke there. I would have gone with New Mutants instead of the Fantastic Four.
I couldn't do it. I would just.
But Fantastic Four is a good one. That's a good one because it does track. I know it's just four kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, because this is far superior to the New Mutants. So. I'm just. This movie by calling it the New Mutants.
I love that movie. That's an excellent movie.
And coming in at number one for Johnny's five word plot summary for The Innocents. Parents leave kids outside unattended. That's what the whole movie's about to me.
Yeah, true.
Oh, yeah, go and play. Who cares? Here, take your sister with severe autism and take her around this town we just moved to. It's fine.
Fine.
It's got to be fine.
But yeah, all right. So, John. Give me your first thoughts on The Innocents.
The Innocents. I really enjoyed this movie. I really liked it. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for like that, it's such a rough watch. It's very Swedish. I don't know if that makes any sense. It's like if you've seen Let the Right One In, you get the idea of
hairstyles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How they present movies, especially horror movies. And even though things are like wildly imaginative and like obviously they would never happen in real life, they always ground things in a very believable way. Also, I don't know what it is about movies that are shot in this part of the world, but I always just think of like a dystopian future. That's where everybody moved to. It's like either Chernobyl or a dystopian future, which might be the same thing. I don't know. Who's to say Chernobyl happened and it wasn't just like a time warp?
Yeah.
And that's where all the guys from landed.
Yeah, no, excuse our cultural ignorance and our coastal elitistness, but everywhere else looks like it's bombed out shelters and stuff. Post-apocalyptic. Yeah.
Oh, I will give it this too. Aside from what the main two, well, I shouldn't even say the main two girls because the main cast is the four kids.
Right.
Are the two girls that we follow, they were the only like Caucasian characters in the movie.
Yep.
Thought that was pretty badass.
Yep. Yeah.
Of course, they follow suit with every other trope by then in the movie, unfortunately.
Yeah.
In a horror movie, the brown folk are not going to last long, it seems.
Yeah, they're the ones causing all the trouble, unfortunately. But yeah, no, I agree. I really like this movie. I think I the easiest way to sum it up is like indie, like an indie movie. Like if Marvel's made an indie movie, this is like their superpower origin stories. Because all these kids... So the thing is, all these kids have growing, except for the, you know, one of the daughters, they all have like growing powers, right? Like,
oh, she ended up having it though.
She did, right? She had like a little bit of it or something. End.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She makes her cast explode.
She, they all have different kind of offset powers and stuff like that. Kind of like New Mutants and you kind of like.
I was going to say, this is almost exactly the same story as Chronicle.
Yeah. Also like Chronicle.
That movie, Michael B. Jordan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where one of the kids goes a little too far with it.
Yeah. And it's about like these two sisters, young sisters, very young, right? These kids are super young. It's like, what? Not even teenagers. No, I would say younger, 10.
I'm going to say the older sister might be a teenager.
Yeah.
The one with autism.
Mm-hmm. And everybody else is like 10, right? 10-ish.
Yeah.
10 to 15-ish, kind of, because they're really tough.
I would say younger, maybe.
Yeah, I would say around there, yeah. And essentially they... yeah, they have like telekinesis powers. They have mind reading powers. They have
telepathy.
Telepathy. And, so.
And then, but the, yeah, because the girl that has, what do you call that condition? Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen. Viggo Mortensen. No, you're right. Following.
I can't remember what the skin condition is called. Michael Jackson had it where like the skin pigmentation starts to
peel. Yeah.
You lose it. So it becomes white. Like that young girl couldn't have been older than like 7.
She was probably the youngest. No, I agree. And I think.
Also, I got to say, all very talented.
All really talented actors. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Especially even though I fucking hated that kid, obviously, because you're supposed to, he was. Very good.
So we get the sense that these kids are here in this, that these new kids, they move into this apartment and they're not very, they can't make any new, they're trying to make new friends. Nobody's really willing to talk to them. I think they even make a note that like most of the kids are gone for the summer because at the very, you know, kind of the very end scene, everybody returns from summer vacations and stuff like that. So it's just like this odd time where there's nobody to hang out with. And there's two other kids who are kind of like outcast-ish kids. You had Ben, who's kind of like socially awkward, sociopath, right? And then you had another Asha, I think is her name. She was...
Aisha?
Aisha?
I guess they call her... I mean, it would be Aisha. I mean... Aisha, if we're in America, I don't know how to say it. And
I would say Asha.
The one with the vitiligo.
With the skin condition, yeah. And
yeah.
They all sort of form a friendship and a bond, and they go, and we find out that they have like powers, right? Emerging kind of powers. And I think they did a really good job of setting these kids in their world. So it feels like it's from their perspective. And how they react to it. And I thought they did a really good job of the kids behaving naturally, right? Like they didn't seem like they were acting or like going through these speeches or monologue. It's a very un-American way to handle children. And
yeah,
which I think is a benefit for the movie. And we kind of just...
Oh, well,
no, go ahead.
Also a little trivia that might contribute to how natural it felt. Ida and mm-hmm. her mom were actually mother and daughter in real life.
Oh, nice. I love that's a, yeah, they could definitely sense that there was a good, everything that goes on felt very natural, which kind of sells you on like sort of the supernatural elements of this. If there was one other thing, I would even compare this to like a Stephen King book, right? Stephen King's touched upon. Yeah. There's a lot of characters he's had, you know, Carrie, was one book, and then you know, Firestarter.
Carrie.
You know, he's like
Carrie, Samantha.
I think Carrie would be a good representation, right? Because it kind of ties them becoming children and growing up, and ties in with them like. And their powers, how Carrie was sort of like, she grew these powers because of her maturity. She was becoming a woman, and her powers kind of grew.
Yeah.
With these kids.
That's an interesting take, I believe. So what of the other three, which one is Samantha? Which one's Miranda?
Which one's the Charlotte? Horse? I don't know.
Oh, which one? Well, you just called her Carrie. So the main girl's Carrie.
The main girl's Carrie.
Which one's Charlotte? Which one's the boring one? I guess.
Charlotte, that's Ida, right? And then Ben is a Samantha. Complete Samantha. Troublemaker. Samantha. Troublemaker.
I mean, might argue that he's a Miranda because of how angry he is, you know?
Which one's Ben Grimes and which one's Johnny Storm? You made the Fantastic Four analogy. So
Ben would be
Johnny Storm.
Damn, I guess Ben would be the kid, the boy.
The what?
Because of the anger issues. Ben would be the boy, for sure.
Johnny?
Because of the anger issues. Okay. And then Johnny Storm would be, I feel like, the older sister.
I would say the older sister is Ben because she's kind of the hulking beastie-ish of the four.
Yeah, but Ben Grimes also like potentially could have been a bad guy at one point because he was so angry with everything and then didn't like being around people and then acted out early on in the comics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's a lot of parallels. But yeah, I think that there's definitely like I like that the way they. I was using that as an example, the Carrie, because...
Oh, it's Dr. Doom.
That the four of them, this movie kind of focuses on... I think Ben will probably be Dr. Doom. But yeah, the four of them, what I like is that it deals with getting powers and having... Being a children and then developing sort of like their moral codes. Like, they're giving these powers. And so like, who would take what so far? Who would be responsible for it? And there's even... Without saying it, which I think the movie, there might be even a little bit of a saying, there might be even like a little bit of a, you know, social representation, meaning like Ben is a man and he's sort of the destructive one. And you have all the women who are kind of like the women or girls in this case, who are the ones that are kind of like the ones that are like working together and trying to like save each other. They don't spell it out that way, but I think there's something you could read into it.
No, you're absolutely right, because when you see all the other kids that play, you know, the kids that stay behind, the older kids, they're all white, I think.
Right.
You know, so there's probably some racial commentary happening, too, because the Ben kid is being abusive household, gets bullied all the time.
Mm-hmm. Awkward.
So of course he
treated different.
So of course he does destructive things because he's being treated shitty all the time. Because I've met these kids. I mean,
no,
I grew
yeah.
up in a trailer park, and I've met these kids.
Mm-hmm.
They are very destructive. Like one kid was like, "This is super fun. Check it out." And he would like catch grasshoppers and put them in like some like paint that he found behind his house, and like, look, now they're dipped in paint. And like, okay,
yeah.
You're just killing a bunch of grasshoppers, and that was my neighbor, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and there's definitely. And that could be for a lot of reasons, right? His home life. It could be because how he's treated.
Oh, there's 100% his home life. His parents were really shitty parents.
Exactly. So Ben is sort of that prototypical type of kid with problems at home, right? And that kind of leads to him acting out and his behavior. And we see that, what's her name? Aisha has a... Difference. She's more of a kind of a caregiver. She's more like she's more responsible for the other ones. She's very nice, very sweet through the whole movie. Kind of like brings out the powers out of Anna, who had the autism, right? She's kind of the one that kind of build a friendship together, and she's the one that kind of pushes her, and she develops her own, helps develop some of this. Even Ben, she even helps Ben. Like I feel like she's kind of like the one that. Kind of brought them together.
The conduit, right?
Yeah, she kind of was the one that brought them together. And they all kind of immediately started working together and stuff like that. So, very. I thought that was.
Yeah, it's like heartbreaking that like her relationship with her mom is very good. Very
yeah,
nice. And mm-hmm. then at what Ben does to fucking disrupt that is horrible.
And yeah, no, exactly. And I think the only thing with this movie that I. Bill going in, people should know is that it's a slow burn, which is kind of like what you're talking about. It's the pace of this movie.
It's
a slow burn,
but God, it's so uncomfortable to watch sometimes.
Yes.
There's a lot to digest. It's like, ugh. Like some of the shit, like the poor girl, the one with autism, like
mm-hmm.
getting pinched really hard all the time because they just assume she can't feel pain because she doesn't react. And then when she gets like a splinter like shoved into her leg,
I think they,
and they don't bother to take it out.
Yeah, she's not able to react to it. I think that at first I thought it was really interesting that Ida, the younger, the Chief Sister, is kind of jealous of all the attention that Anna's getting, right? She's very kind of, and that happens in most children, right? They have like little jealousy between brothers and sisters or you know, any kind of siblings. And
ooh, I've got one more 5-word plot summary.
Okay.
Talking about all this.
Cool. Go for it.
Thank God they're not teens.
I know, right? Chronicles 2 here. Throwing buildings at each other and shit. Whatever the fuck. And yeah, and I thought they did a really good job of showing, you know, kids showing that at first she was kind of mean to Anna. She put, you know, she did some certain, and she act out, she misbehaved. She's kind of like uncomfortable with living there, didn't want to move. Seems to have a better relationship with her dad, who seems a little more caring, and the mother is kind of like the...
Dude, I kept forgetting that character was there.
The dad?
Yeah, because he has like maybe 10 minutes of screen time, tops. I kept forgetting he was there.
The relationship there seems to be like he's kind of like the fun one, the easygoing one, and the mom is kind of the one that runs everything, right? That's the dynamic you get a sense of.
So it's basically Mrs. Doubtfire is what you're saying.
Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
You would have sided with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
But then when you rewatch it as an adult, you're like, holy shit. Sally feels out of right. She's just a good mom.
That kind of leaves Ida to develop a relationship with Ben, but Ben fucking a little piece of shit killing cats and, you know, other stuff and just being kind of murderous. That's how they kind of develop those relationships. So, cool. Did you want to...
Which I'm glad we stopped killing cats because I was like...
I could not stand it. I scrubbed through that like 5 minutes, dude. I was refused to go back. I'm not going to watch stuff like that. All right. Did you have any last or had you not last thoughts, but did you have any more thoughts before you want to go into spoilers?
No, I think I said what. Yeah, we should just go into spoilers.
Okay, cool. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. So Ben is a psychopath.
Yeah.
And basically murders everybody from far away, but is afraid of older sister Anna.
Yeah. She has very strong powers. As strong as him. Oh. Ben is the first one with powers, right? Because he does the little trick he shows Ida, right?
Yeah. Which I thought was interesting. So after the cat thing, which if you guys want to know at home, after he shows the tricks, this cat shows up and he's like, oh yeah, I just found this cat yesterday and I call it like Jacka or
Jabba, Jada, like something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It cuts to them going up like several staircases. I want to say like maybe 8.
And you're going
to
explain all this, up. Even though I skipped all this, but go ahead. Yes.
And then they're like, all right, yeah, this is high enough. Let's try this one. And then they drop the cat from that high up and it goes splat. Uh-huh. And they cut to the bottom and the cat like limps away because one of its legs is obviously fucked up and it hides. And then they go and look for the cat and then they see the cat is like collapsed on the ground, not moving. And Ben starts to cry like he's sad. But then the cat purrs and he's like, oh, hey, what, Jaka is good or whatever. And then goes, we should just kill it, and then crushes the cat's head with the back of his heel while staring at Ida. And Ida's like, I'm gonna bounce.
I'm out. She's like, yeah.
Because like he's like starting to pet the body. He's like, it's still warm, like whatever. Which I thought was like a weird, because you can't figure out this kid, because every time something bad happens, he starts to cry. Because he's still a kid, I guess, is what they're trying to say. just doesn't understand. Like, there's nobody there to tell him not to do things, to be a good person, because his mom is clearly a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, he kills his mom too, which is fucked up.
Yeah, I was. Kills his mom? I was more okay with this. Yeah. So he like tortures his mom, so his powers grow stronger, and he like moves a pot of water, throws a pan at her.
Cast iron hits her head.
Falls to the ground. Dumps the hot boiling water on her feet and leaves her, and she died. You assume that she dies, right? But then we cut to a scene later, and she like wakes up, and he's still eating food, and she's like, "Help me, help me!" And a few scenes later, he goes to the refrigerator, looks for food, and the body's still there. So I'm assuming he just left her there to die. Really fucked up kid. So
yeah, I mean the kid. There's like this one other like. So there are a group of kids that kind of bully him, specifically one kid. But while the group of kids are playing basketball, he's able from far away to snap one of the kids' legs in half.
Mm-hmm. That was a nice fucked up moment. Yep.
And then a little bit later, he's like back in his apartment and he's able to convince people to do things for him. And he convinces some dude, some random guy, I think, right? I mean, the neighbor,
I believe it was the neighbor below him. So he starts tapping a ball in rhythm, and that you learn quickly. That's how he's able to like kind of, it's like send out a message, kind of like he's able to like send out a way to like control the guy. So you see this normal guy sitting below him who like doing the dishes, eating some food, and then he starts hearing the ball that he's like hitting against something, and then like you realize that he's being possessed or like being kind of taken over, and he goes and kills one of the other kids.
Yeah. And it's like these people like kind of wake up. So there's two different realities of what's going on.
Yeah.
They're being controlled and doing things mindlessly, but in their heads, they kind of wake up into like let's call it like an upside down, right?
Right.
Kind of like mm-hmm. Stranger Things.
That's, yeah.
And they're being shown things that aren't actually there, aren't real.
So they did a really good trick of the stuff that they're seeing is like shot kind of cool lighting. So when they would snap out of it, it'd be kind of the warm, natural look we're seeing, but they kind of shoot it in like a cool framing way, a lot darker. So they show the differences, contrasts between the two,
right,
which was really cool.
So yeah, this guy, you know, didn't even put on shoes, just like mindlessly walks over to a bridge. I think maybe the only bridge in this entire area of the world,
mm-hmm.
according to the geography. And he's just kind of sitting on a ledge, and he's like, is he bouncing a ball? Or he's like, no, he's like tapping whatever rock or whatever he's got in his hand.
Yeah.
Shoe. And then, the kid that's been bullying him walks past him, kind of stares at him like, oh, what a weirdo. And then this guy straight up goes up behind him and just like mauls his head.
I like,
kills the kid.
I like how they like did a really good job of escalating Ben's powers as he learned them, right? Because it literally starts with him just throwing like little rocks, right? He's able to move rocks with his mind. That's how he meets, that's the trick that he shows Ida. And then slowly we're progressing to where now he's able to like take over people's minds, adults, anybody, and have them see what he wants them to see, and they act for him or through him, right? So,
right. Which is how he convinces. What were they doing? Oh, they were doing the whisper game where they would whisper something and then they would try to hear it in their heads from like however far away.
Yeah.
And they're playing the game again in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing they said is, say Ben is a poo-poo head or something. Dumb turd like that.
Or yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And Ben got pissed off and started like attacking them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when you see the extent of Anna's powers. And Anna's like, nah, bitch.
So
you a little shit.
So
that's what those are the direct lines from the movie.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah. we realize Anna with the autism, she's very powerful, as powerful as Ben, and
or more,
we would say more, right? Because eventually there's a confrontation early on, and between Anna and Ben, because Ben gets upset when what's her name, Asha or whatever has calls him a turd or whatever. And Ben takes issue with that and tries to like, oh, I'm gonna beat you up or kill you or something.
Oh no, he straight up Darth Vader force chokes her.
Oh, that's right.
He's about to kill her.
Yeah. And Anna
until Ida goes and like shoves him to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But she's, and he gets pissed and turns around, and then Ida is like, "What you gonna do, huh? What you gonna do?"
Yeah,
out my face.
Yeah, no, I mean, and if they have a confrontation at the end, a duel of wits of just like, I think this power is so funny because they just stare at each other. So it's kind of the way they fight each other,
and they do point that out. Like at one point, Ben is like, "Check this out," but he makes like a weird face whenever he does his stuff.
Oh yeah.
So he gets embarrassed and he turns and like looks away.
He says, "Don't laugh." Yeah, he's like, "Don't laugh. Don't laugh." Yeah, what he does it. Yeah, it's like,
but just like, I mean, the kid deserved to die. Unfortunately, I think I don't know about rehabilitating somebody with like that type of ability.
So what did you get from? So there's a final confrontation. So Ben is trying to stalk them. Ida tries to actually try to, the younger girl tries to kill him, but there's a failed attempt. But Ben is, he killed.
Yeah, she shoves him off a fucking, that same bridge into oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
But he lands on the grass and not on the street. I mean, she tries to convince him to like move more that way, but he's like, he just does his thing.
Right.
And then when she runs away, he does that thing where she thinks she's being attacked by somebody, right?
Just random people in the woods or something. Yeah, shadows.
Yeah,
yeah,
shadowy people. Yeah, because she thinks she hits a snake first, and then that was like a cool little like something that doesn't play later. But she picks up a piece of like a shard of glass, and it's got a bunch of points. So when she gets frightened and moves out into the street, where I don't know if people know this, but in Sweden, like, people will not stop if there's a person in the road, even if they can see him for like miles and miles away.
Yeah,
they will go full speed. She like walks backwards and she accidentally squeezes the glass too hard and she cuts herself. Yeah. So she's like snaps too. She was like, "Oh no, that's cool." So I almost thought that was going to happen to save Aisha, who gets killed by her mother because her mother is convinced that Aisha is like a demon girl.
Fucking tragic, dude. That was like the most fucked up of all the deaths. Yeah, that was a really sad one. And Ben is stalking them, and of course they have a final confrontation. What I was gonna ask was, when they're having the final confrontation, they make a point to like, there's more kids now, everybody's returned from summer, it's probably fall, and there's more kids around, and there's some kids that when they're having that like power duel or whatever, there's more kids that come through the window and they attack Ben as well. Do you think they were were they kids with powers that we didn't know about also, or do you think Anna somehow used them as well?
I want to say Anna convinced them, but told them to come out and see this. Because if there's something that would make Ben uncomfortable, it would be being watched, I think, is the idea, because Ben doesn't like attention too much because he doesn't like to be laughed at and blah blah blah. I thought that's what I took away from it. And then they have that power struggle, and then Ida runs up and holds Anna's hand, and then Anna is able to basically stop Ben's heart, I think.
Yeah, they basically, I got the sense that there were other, since all those kids have returned, those other kids felt like what was going on, and they came out and maybe had powers too, and they all grouped together, worked together to take him down, because they saw that he was being, for whatever reason.
Well, I want to agree with that, but then they have no idea what's going on. They just came back. So that's why I'm saying, I think Anna told them to like come out and see this.
Yeah.
Or they felt something and they just watched.
Yeah, because there's definitely I think to the movie's benefit, there's no like, oh, they're on a military base. There's no like weird explanation. Oh, they're like the radioactive, we just, all that radiation, they cleaned it up. It's gone, right? There's no like stupid, dumb, like trying to explain what was actually happening. It's just sort of like these kids get powers. It happens. It's very matter of fact, right? And he just sort of deals with these kids, you know, having to deal with them, you know, the powers that they have and stuff. But that was kind of, which I think was the right decision.
Yeah, because it focuses more on the importance of kids' mental health at such an early impressionable age.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was pretty good. It's cool. Really cool. I really dug that and that fight at the end too. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, this is cool. This is fun.
Yeah.
And I like that Anna accidentally knocked back that other kid that was on the tricycle, that little like baby. No, she fucking killed that kid too. But then the kid got up and started crying.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
And then I thought it was cool when they go back into the apartment and I also appreciate that these kids aren't stupid. Like immediately, Ida realized that her mom was being controlled by Ben and was like, "I gotta get the fuck out of here," even though she had a cast on her leg.
Yeah.
And then that's when you find out Ida potentially has powers too, because she's getting frustrated walking, and then she like screams angrily and her cast explodes.
Mm.
And she like runs down the stairs.
Very cool.
Oh, we didn't mention, I just want to point this out. There's a part where Ben is going to attack the kids, but then Ida runs up, not Ida, Anna runs up, and he just like freaks out and runs away. And then it's just like a long, like maybe like 3 minutes of him really frustrated and screaming and crying and screaming and then finally yelling mommy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn, man, this kid's fucking killing it right now.
No, yeah. It's
like very good.
Absolutely, yeah. The performances were very good through and through. No problems with
that. And what do you think of the ending? Do you think Anna is going to finally come out of her disability?
I think
that's what it kind of suggested, right?
I think they're suggesting that very much so, that she was already speaking. She was saying words. There was more of growth in her, you know, of her autism. You know what I mean? Because I think they had mentioned that she didn't have it, always have it at first, that she kind of was losing her vocabulary at some point, just saying like a couple of words, and then to the point where she just didn't stop talking completely. And I think she's kind of going, she's kind of growing the opposite of that. You know, she's emerging.
Because, she's got that, like, superior Etch-a-Sketch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was just doing scribbles and then, like, getting rid of it. And then what you're left with is she takes away the image one more time with the scribbles, and then it looks like she's got a deliberate pressing on the pad without doing scribbles mindlessly, and it looks like she's about to write something, and then it cuts to black.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It was really cool. Yeah, really, really enjoyable. Alrighty, do you have any last thoughts?
No, I just think Sweden's got some fucking great movies.
Yeah, this is Norway though. But what is it?
Norway. Yeah,
Norwegians.
That's what I meant to say.
No, I know. I don't want anybody blasting you in the comments. Canceling you in the comments.
Yeah, I don't know why I kept saying Sweden. They don't even
the sound fucking haircut. Yeah, it's this fucking blonde haircut. It's a fucking midsummer fucking blonde haircut that fortunately Anna had. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give The Innocence 8 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, I'm going to give it the same. Really, really interesting movie. The only thing I'm going to say is pacing, but that's just like nitpick. nitpick only. Be aware that the movie's very paced, but I thought everything happening was interesting through and through. Like, just everything going on. Really enjoyed it. I also give it 8 sexy spooky bones.
Nice. I also appreciate a Nordic movie that does not mention Thor or Ragnarok in this day and age. So there you go.
You just wanted her to have like posters of Chris Hemsworth in her, in her room.
And see, this is what I get for comparing it to Let the Right One In. I just keep saying fucking Sweden. I can't believe I did that.
Yeah. No, you're good. Don't worry. We corrected it. You'll be fine. Nobody's going to harass you online. Yeah.
Nobody listens this far into the podcast.
What do you mean? The ratings are the most important. That's what everybody waits for.
Oh, no. They skip right to the ratings and then they don't listen to what I say.
Oh, yeah.
What an idiot. He fucked up. I'm not listening to this anymore.
Trash. What was our glowing review? Mindlessly dumb.
Mindlessly dumb. I was like, but that's what most of our movies are. That
Yeah. Cool. All right, guys and gals and non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. It's Nordic for stay spooky. Goodbye.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to.